basically what we're doing is transitioning from one series of lessons to another. And I told you last week what we're going to do. I've got a couple of things that I'm going to just to kind of make you aware of them this morning in terms of Bible study materials that we have that you can use to study with people in some different ways. Because I just want you to be aware of what we have with these things. And then we're going to start looking at this survey of Bible history. And I passed these out when we started the other lesson, the series that we just finished. I passed this survey of Bible history out to you in that study because it was one of those things that we were talking about basically kind of learning these basic fundamental key people and events in the Bible. And if you learn these, then these are really the kind of the keys to understanding the rest of the Bible and putting it all together. This is kind of like the skeleton of Bible history and understanding the Bible. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through this and study, because I've had some people ask me about this when I've handed out before and going, okay, they want to talk about some of these things. So I thought, well, the best thing for us to do is to use this, and we're just going to go through each one of these things and study them and talk about some of these key events and so forth, so that you can, I want to make sure you know them, okay? So when we finish with this part of the study, then you will have the good basic foundational knowledge of the Bible in these, with being able to put these events together. I've had a Bible study going on with someone here for several weeks now, and I gave them this study guide, and she's been studying this, and as she studied it, she keeps coming back. She's going, "This is so wonderful." She said, "It makes so much sense." She said, "I really am beginning to understand what the Bible is really all about a whole lot better." And so that's really what I want to try to do with this, okay? So again, some of you may have the old one that I gave you. It's on white paper like this. If you don't have that one, I printed it up on yellow, so maybe, you know, you take it and you stick it in your Bible. You'll oh, where's that yellow sheet that I had or what have you? So that's what we're going to do. Before we start looking at the story of creation and so forth this morning, let me go over a couple of these different things that we have available for doing Bible studies with people. First off, we have the Jewel Miller, they used to be called originally film strips, okay? They have evolved over the years from the film strips into the videos, and then from the videos into DVDs. But of course, the videos and the DVDs are still basically showing the film strip things, the pictures from the film strips. But they are an excellent, excellent way to sit down and study with someone and get a really good overview of Bible history, kind of what we're doing with this right here. The study series comes with a workbook for each of the five lessons in this series, okay, that you can use to go along with it. And it's got all the pictures from the slides in the booklet, and it goes through and has, it's got the narrative from each one of them in there. So you can actually, you don't have to necessarily even use the film strips, although I think the film strip or the DVD thing is really great. The thing that I like about the Jewel Miller study series is that it gives some really good visuals that people can hold on to. A lot of people, you know, are visual learners. People, you know, learn better that way by seeing things. And this is a really excellent way for people to get a picture in their mind of the things that you're talking about as you're studying the different parts of the Bible. If you have never seen these before, and again, I just brought the workbooks. They have been in the other Bible study class. They're finished with it now, but that's what they've been looking at is the Jewel Miller Bible study series in there. If you've never seen these film strips before, I'd highly recommend that you go and watch them, okay? just for your own learning and knowledge. And then you'll be able to see also what you can do with them in terms of being able to study with someone. What they're designed to do is you get with someone and you show the first video in the series. Again, there's five of them. And usually what I do with folks when I show it to them, and I started out, by the way, with the film strips. I went and got a film strip projector, and I got the series of film strips and all that. And so if you want to go retro and do that, I'll be glad to loan those to you, basically what I do is just start out, let the thing start, and then I tell them, hey, as we're going through this, if you have a question, just sing out, and we'll put it on pause, and we'll talk about, whatever your question is, and then we'll continue it on. We don't have to get through the whole thing in one setting or whatever. And that generates a lot of discussion in it. So this is, again, I highly recommend that you at least watch this series, that you get it yourself, get it out of the library and watch it, and it will give you some really good ideas of the, pictures of the Bible history and so forth. Excellent study on, the first one is on the patriarchal age, the second one we go to the Mosaic age, and then the third one is the Christian age, which talks about the history of the church, the beginning of the church, and so forth. The other two are just the kind of the follow-up, God's plan for redeeming man, and then the history of the church itself. Excellent study series to do, either to sit down with someone and just watch it through and let them ask questions and so forth for that. So that's what that is about. We have these, like I said, I've got a set of them in film strips if you want to go that way. We have a set of the video tapes, VHS tapes. If you still have a VHS tape player, there's still a couple of people that have those out, so you can use those. Or we just got a copy of the DVD, you need, if you want to use that, you need to see me and check that out from me. Because we just don't want to lose that, so we need to keep a handle on who's got it. So that's an excellent study that I would highly recommend for you to do. Now, if you would like to, you've got somebody that wants to sit down and study the Bible with you, and again, all these things that I'm sharing with you, at least these first two, If you don't feel comfortable in actually leading the Bible study, then get with one of the elders, and we will be glad to conduct the Bible study and let you be, a silent partner and do that with whoever it is that you want to study with. What we really need is for you to set up Bible studies for us with folks that are interested in learning. This is what's called the Open Bible Study. How many of y'all are familiar with this? Okay, just a couple of you. Basically, this study, there's three lessons in this, and then there's also another worksheet that goes with it. And I have to confess to you, I looked all over the building this week trying to find these. We just recently bought a whole bunch of these things, and I cannot find them anywhere. So I don't know what happened to them, so we're going to have to order some more and get them. So I dug up some that I had, the old ones that I had, but just so that you'd be able to see basically what it is. This is it's a question and answer, yes and no type Bible study, where you sit down with someone and you open the Bible, thus the name, Open Bible Study, okay? And it gives you passage to read. And then after you read the passage, it has a couple of questions. And they're yes and no type questions on here. And you basically, with the person, you go through and you read the passages and you answer the questions. And it can generate some discussion on these things and so forth. It's a good study, especially if you're a little bit, I'm just not sure what to study with someone or whatever. This is a really good study to start out with studying with people with. Because it's, you just follow, just read the passage and answer the questions and just follow on through in that way. And so we're going to get some more of these and have these available. And if you would, you know, if you want to do an open Bible study, and I have a training. Actually, there's a notebook that Ivan Stewart, who's the one that developed this, put together. There's a whole notebook that shows you all kinds of different things you can do with it and so forth. If you're interested in learning how to do that, then you can see me, and I'll be glad to share that with you. But those are some excellent ways to study with people in that regard. Now, if you have someone that perhaps lives a long distance away from you, maybe a family member, friend, somebody in your Jerusalem, that being able to actually get with them, you know, together, one-on-one, sit down with them and do a Bible study in the same location is rather difficult because they live, you know, too far away in another city or another state or what have you. Well, we have an answer for that too. You see? We have what are called Bible correspondence courses, okay? And these are basically it's a Bible study that the person does by mail, okay? There are 8 lessons in this particular study. This is a John Hurt study. It's a really good study that basically takes people through the Bible. And what happens is, basically what you do is you get somebody that, you know, hey, I'd like to do a Bible correspondence course, you know, study the Bible through the mail. And we use this, have used this in the past in just being able to do mail outs and so forth. But if you have somebody that would like to do a Bible study, what you do is you just mail them this, okay? And I suggest to you that you mail them this and a self-addressed stamp envelope for them to return the last page, because the last page of this is a test, okay, that they take at the end based on what they've studied with it, and they tear that off and mail that back to you, okay? And we have a grading key here that goes along with the test for you to use. So you grade their test, and then when you grade their test, you send their test back to them, okay, with lesson number 2, okay? And they do lesson number 2 and do the same thing. So you send them a self-addressed stamped envelope for them to return the test at the back, and you grade that test, and then you send them lesson 3. You see how this works, you see? But this is a great way to study with someone long distance. You've got someone that's interested in doing a Bible study, but physically you can't get with them because they live too far away. And what happens with this a lot of times is the people will go through this study series, and when they're finished with this study series, they've got a lot of questions still and so forth. And so then what we can do is say, okay, and what we'll do is get somebody from the church in the area where that person lives to make contact with them and say, hey, I understand you've been doing the John Hurt Bible Study Series, and you got some more questions, you know, what can we do to help you? And it's a great way to be able to study with someone long distance, you see, that way, and then be able to provide an opportunity for them to have some follow-up with someone in the church in the area where they are. So you know, that's another option. It doesn't have to necessarily be someone in another city. If you've got someone in your Jerusalem, someone that lives down the street from you or what have you, a family member, and they want to study but they're not interested in doing one of these other things, talk to them about this and tell them, you know, you can just give them the lesson. Tell them when you get done with that, do the test on the back, give it back to me, I'll give you the next lesson. When they're done with all 8 lessons, then you can say, okay, well, do you have any questions? Maybe we can sit down and study some things together. You just never know what studying in that kind of way might generate an opportunity to be able to sit down and do a physical location Bible study in that way. Steve?
Yeah. Do you know, has there been any attempt to, like, digitize the correspondence courses, any of them?
Not that I'm aware of.
They can be done via email?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. There may be, but I have not seen them advertised at all. If they were, then they most likely would be in the catalogs, yeah. And I have not seen them advertising there. But now, you know, also, you know, I don't look through the catalogs every week or what have you, and I haven't really, you know, been looking for that particular, but, you know, we can do that. We can look and see. But I have not noticed that they have. Usually when there's a major change like that, like they did with the with the Jewel Miller things, they usually send out some kind of a mailing that says, hey, you know, we've done this with it and that, and I've not seen anything like that at all. So, but these are some excellent ways to be able to study with someone, either in person or, you know, like I say, long distance, to be able to introduce the Bible to people and study with them in a way that's helpful but non-threatening and so forth. So anybody have any questions about any of those? Anybody? Okay. Now, let me introduce to you what I normally do when I study with people now. Okay? And by the way, you know, I started out with an open Bible study. You know, that's how I first learned how to study with people, was using the open Bible study, and then I found the Jewel Miller film strips, and I got those, and I started using those with folks and so forth. I've done several, you know, of the Bible correspondence courses with people over the years. But what I have come to in studying with folks is basically put together this study guide that we're going to go over, is this survey of the Bible. Okay? And the reason that I use this method now is because over the years I have found there are a lot of people who know, as one person once said, a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. It's not that they don't know. It's not that they don't know what the Bible says. It's just they know that a lot that ain't so, as the saying goes. Okay, but there are a lot of people out there who really do not know very much about the Bible at all. You know, there are a lot of folks who have not gone to church very much in their lives at all, so they've not really been exposed to the Bible in terms of you know, what it has to say. There are a lot of folks like myself. You know, I grew up in a Catholic church that basically we learned catechism, which is, you know, you learn about the church rules and laws and all of those things, and then there are certain Bible stories that you learn. Okay, but beyond those Bible stories, like David and Goliath, you know, and Jonah and the whale, and you know, a few stories like that you learn, you don't know. I don't know a lot about the Bible. So when I first, you know, started studying the Bible, I'm looking out going, wow, you know, I didn't know that stuff was in there, you know, and so I really was very ignorant of the Bible. Even though I went to a seminary and studied to be a priest for 4 years, I still didn't know very much about the Bible because we didn't use the Bible very much, you see. And so, you know, that's the case with a lot of folks. They just don't know, other than some stories here and there that, you know, if they've gone to vacation Bible school in their any time in their life, or they've gone to church kind of hit and miss, they've heard these same Bible stories over and over again. But after that, they really don't know a lot about the Bible. So what I've done is kind of gone back and said, okay, what I want to do is to take somebody like that really just doesn't know very much about the Bible at all, and go through this survey of the Bible to highlight the key people and key events that are in the Bible, that I kind of look at this like the skeleton of Bible study, okay? And so if you get, you know, just like the human body, you know, you got a skeleton underneath all this, you know, flesh and so forth. Well, what does a skeleton serve? What purpose does a skeleton serve? Your bones and all. What purpose does that serve?
The framework that everything else.
Yeah, it's the framework that holds everything together, isn't it? Okay? If you didn't have the bones in there, then what would happen to your body? It'd just be a pile of mush right there, okay? You wouldn't be able to do anything, all right? And so you've got to have the skeletal frame and structure in order to hold everything in place and to be able to do something with the rest of the physical body, okay? Well, in a sense, that's what this survey is like. It's the skeleton of the Bible study. What it does is it takes all of those things that people have heard. And how many times have you ever, you know, been in a discussion with someone and said, well, I know the Bible says so and so. You know, well, they heard so somewhere that the Bible says this, and that may or may not say that, you see. But people, you know, have this information, but there's no structure. There's nothing that's kind of holding all that together for them that allows them to really make sense out of what they do know of the Bible. Okay? So doing this survey allows them to add that structure and kind of be able to start making connection. And then as a person studies more, once they've kind of gotten this down, then as they study more and continue on, what they're doing is they're adding all the rest of the organs of the body, so to speak, you see, and the flesh and everything else, and it all comes together. Because these things that we're going to study as on the survey, these are the fundamentals. These are the basic things that if you know these events, then as you're reading other things in the Bible, those things are going to make more sense to you, you see, than if you're reading them and you're going, yeah, it's kind of a neat story, but what does it mean? Well, if you know these things, then this story will mean a whole lot more. In other words, if you're over in the book of Romans and you're reading, for instance, about Abraham, and Paul there is talking about Abraham being justified by faith, but you don't know anything about the story of Abraham sacrificing his son, you know, there on the mountain, then what Paul has to say about Abraham being justified by faith is only going to have a limited amount of understanding to you. See? And you can sit there and talk to someone all day long about the Passover that Jesus celebrated with his disciples the night before he died, and you know how his, you know, Jesus died, you know, he was the lamb for the sacrifice, and you know, read through all the things in the New Testament has to say about Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and doesn't that really sound great and so forth? But if you don't understand how that's connected to the Israelites and the first Passover and leaving bondage in Egypt, you see, in going to the promised land, then you're going to have a limited understanding of really what Jesus accomplished. You see. So the more that you understand these basic people and events, then the better that these other things are going to make sense to you. Okay? Any thoughts or questions on any of that right now? Right? Yeah, I got them right here. I got them right here. Who else doesn't have a copy of this? You may already have a copy, Ray. I gave these out back in the other study, but it's on white paper. But it's okay. If you can have many of these as you want. They're like Doritos. We'll make more if we use them up, okay? So, well, we can... Okay, well, take them and give them to them. Absolutely, that's what we want to happen. Use them up. Okay. So, that's basically the approach that I take with it. And so, I'm sitting down with someone, and we're going to start and look at this survey. Or in the case of the person that I'm studying with right now, you know, I gave it to him and said, you know, hey, take it and study it, and then you know, next week you come back and you know, you write down any questions you have as you're going along, and then we'll talk about those things. That's just the way that this person wants to do the study and all. So it works out great. Okay? So a lot of different ways that you can use this. Now, basically what we're doing in a survey, okay, a survey is designed to highlight. Okay? It's not where you want to go into, you know, all the detail of the events and so forth. You don't want to try to cover everything that's going on with a particular person or event or what have you. But what it does allow is for you to be able to highlight some really important things that sometimes people haven't really ever thought of before in that particular story. Melvin, pick you up one of those sheets right there if you'd like one. And so keep in mind that as you're doing a survey, again, think skeleton, okay? Think, think Bible light, okay? You're giving some basics. You're trying to make sure that the person is understanding just the basic idea of any particular person or event and how they fit into the picture here, okay? So when we start out here with the story of creation, okay, notice on the column on the left is the listing of the people or events that you're going to focus on throughout this. And the column on the right gives, a little bit of some key ideas or events or things about that particular thing that you want to focus on a little bit here. So when we look at the story of creation, okay, what do we have here? God created the world in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh, right? Now, what more do we need to know at this point about the story of creation? Right now, not a whole lot, okay? Not a whole lot. What I want a person to understand is, and to be able to, we could read through the story of creation with this person, you see. Read through it. That might generate some questions that they have or what have you. That's a good thing, you see. But the main thing that we want to focus on with this is, I just want you to understand, first of all, who created? God created. What did God create? The heavens and the earth, right? Okay? And then you go through and you look at the story, and there's all those details that you can spend a lot of time on, you see. But basically, I just want you right now to know that God is the one who created everything, okay? And how long did it take Him to create it? 6 days. And then what did He do after that? He rested, okay? So right now, that's all you need to know about creation, okay? There, you see, again, keep in mind, the idea is if we generate enough interest, okay, then this person is going to go back and they go, well, wait a minute, I want to know some more here. And that gives them a lot to study on their own. See, they can go back and read some more about the story of creation. And then the next time you get together, they can give you all these questions that they have. You see, they say, I was reading about this, and then you can talk about those things. But also what happens is they're learning this skeleton. They're going to have the rest of their life, however long that is, to come back and study in more detail those things, that information, and be able to put that stuff on the skeleton. So starting out with, I just want you to know. Who created? God. How long did it take Him? 6 days. And what did He do when He finished? Seventh day rested. That's all I need you to know right now. Okay, that's how things got started. See? Because basically, if you think about this, what we're doing is we're telling somebody, we're giving them another alternative to the humanistic concept of what?
Evolution.
Evolution. See? They got to think about that. See, because you've just challenged them with something that perhaps maybe they've not really read before in their life. Right?
Yeah, that's very simple. When you do it that way, so often people might be questioning.
Oh, sure they will.
Yesterday I was out with a young lady, and she said, well, she had visited here before, and she said, what about these folks that handle these snakes? Mm-hmm. I said, that's snake worship. I said, if they think that they're not going to get bitten in the seven states, I said, not only that, that was the only promise to the apostles. If it was bitten by a serpent, then you would not die. You can't go around and practice that stuff and think you're not going to get bitten. And so there are things that she kept in. She kept asking. I said, well, if I can answer, I will. I think this will help her. And I will try to stick with some things that's basic that she can look over.
Right.
I'm also going to give her one of those things that I gave the guys. When the church started.
Right.
I'm going to give one of those. So they should give something to read, mm-hmm. and go over.
Yeah.
And I'll do that thing. Something is right up there.
Well, absolutely.
But it's very few people have so much.
Exactly. Like I said, there's a lot of people that know, again, they know a lot about the Bible. The problem is they just know a lot that's not, that ain't so. You know, it's not there, you see. But what we're trying to do with this is to generate more and more interest in with people in studying the Bible, you see. And again, it's not that, you know, starting out, we're going to sit there and try to go through all, you know, what was created on every day, you know, of creation and try to get them to make sure that they memorize all of that and so forth. We're just going to touch on that, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. Now, here's one of the things that happens. As you're going through and you're touching on some of these key people and events, I mentioned to you a few moments ago, what happens is, there are some really interesting little tidbits of information in some of these things that that I like to throw in there that people maybe, even a lot of people that have read a lot of this stuff before, but they never understood this particular point. Simple little points that are what I refer to as aha, you see, because what that does is it sparks more interest. They go, wow, you know? The Bible really has a lot of interesting things in it. I've never thought about that before. And what does that do? Cause them to want to study it more. You see? For instance, look in Adam and Eve here. Okay? The second one on here. And so when we're talking about Adam and Eve, now we've already talked about the creation, right? Okay? So then the question is, well, where did Adam and Eve come from? What's the answer? God created them, right? Okay. And if you want to talk about that more in detail, you know, you can go back over to Genesis chapter 1, 26. God said, let us make man in our image and, you know, and so forth. And you can show them that and so forth. But here's what we want to focus on with Adam and Eve, okay? Yes, indeed, they're the first humans that God created. But we want to focus on the fall of man. Okay? All right? Look at the column here, the fall of man. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? Okay? And what I like to do is to talk about, and you've heard me, I preach about it so often and mention it in different lessons and everything, the relationship that God had with man before sin. What was that relationship?
A walking
in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. You see? That's the relationship God had with Adam and Eve before they sinned. And when they sinned, how do we know that? See, these are some of those little interesting little tidbits of information that you throw in there to kind of really pique their interest, okay? How do we know that they had that kind of a relationship with them? After they sin, what does the Bible say? You go to it and you read it with them, and it says right here that then the man heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he hid himself. You see? Now, what I like to do there is to talk about the idea that says, I've got to watch our time. Somebody keep an eye on time for me here. I like to talk about the whole idea of this relationship that God had. Why was it? What does it say there that was the reason that the man hid himself? Right. But what was it that he heard? Oh, wait a minute. There's a sound. What is that sound? There's a strange sound in the garden. That's not what it says, is it?
I knew what it was.
It very specifically says the man did what? He heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, how would the man know that that's what that sound was if it wasn't something that had happened on different occasions before? You see? You see, those are little interesting tidbits of information that people don't always pick up on when you're just doing a casual reading of the text. You see? How did he know that? It wasn't just a strange sound. It very specifically says that's what the sound was. How did he know that's what it was? Because he'd heard it before. And that speaks of the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God before they sinned. Okay? So those are some of the things that we look at with that. Now, look over real quickly before we run out of time. Look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Look at what it says here. This is now Adam and Eve are confronted by God, right? And man tells God, you know, hey, the reason I hid, I heard you walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and I hid because I was afraid, because I was naked, right? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree that I told you not to? And the man says what? The woman you gave me. You see, he blames God. You see, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I took it and ate thereof. You see? And God goes through and, you know, he confronts the woman and she blames the serpent. And then God pronounces a curse on everyone, right? Okay, what was man's problem that he had at that particular point? Why did he hide to begin with? Why? Because he was naked, right? And he had a feeble attempt at trying to cover his nakedness. What did he do? He sewed some fig leaves together to try to cover his nakedness. What does that nakedness represent? If you go back and you look at the narrative, you spend a little bit more time and closely look at it, you find that it's really this focus is on what I refer to as Adam and Eve had eye problems. Okay? How many times in that narrative that Adam has with God, you see, does he use that, what is it, the first person pronoun, I? I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid because I was ashamed because I was naked. You see, all of a sudden with sin, what happens? We start focusing on ourselves. Okay? It wasn't, and here's something that people, again, they don't focus on, they don't key in. You know, the Bible says they when they ate the fruit, what happened? Immediately their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that they didn't realize they were naked before that? That's not really what it means there. Again, they knew they didn't have any clothes on. They didn't even know what clothes were. You see, there was no need for them up to that point. The point is they became self-aware. You see? So they made an attempt to cover their nakedness, a very feeble attempt. We're going to finish with this, okay? What did God do? Where did he make the clothes? Where did the clothes come from? Animal skins. Where did the animal skins come from? Yeah, he created the animals over there in the story of creation. Remember those 6 days we talked about? How did he get the animal skin? Ah, animals had to die. So this marks, you see, the first time that innocent blood was shed to cover man's sin, symbolized by his nakedness. You see? We go through. Now when you understand that, and this is a point that so many people really miss, this is why this is important, that this is a perfect example of, you go through the rest of the Bible, you're reading the law of Moses, and the sacrificial system is all involved in what? Killing of animals, right? To cover sin, right? Well, why did they do that? Where did all that come from? It came from right here. This is where it came from. This is why it was necessary. You see, this was the first time that happened. Now, as you go through and you're reading on all these things about sacrifices and the shedding of blood and so forth, doesn't it make a whole lot more sense? You see? That's what we're trying to do with this kind of a study. You see? Because that makes a connection all the rest of the stuff that talks about sacrifices throughout the rest of the Bible. Now you understand why it had to be that way. Okay? All right. We're out of time. We will pick up here next week with Cain and Abel. All right? Thank you all very much. If you need